it going, Ruby? Feel like a real cowboy now?
Yep, I sure reckon I do.
Sorry I gotta be a yellow belly about this, but we don't even have a map. I think we're just gonna get ourselves lost.
I already am lost. That's why I came out here, to find myself.
It's a dead end.
This is what I mean. What's behind this brush? I don't know. Sapphire ain't here to predict for me. This is my chance to find out for myself.
Oh, Jiminy! Ruby?
Whoa! I had no idea this ravine was here. I almost fell down there.
And it was all my choice.
Hee-haw! Independence!
This.
Seriously, I just taught her how to play guitar like 10 minutes ago.
No, Dad, I mean the whole cowboy being alone thing. I've never seen her like this before. She seems really happy.
Last time on The Power of You in Fiction, Lewin Wilson took a journey through space and time with an unexpected guest to learn about aspirational characters by visiting some friends of the show, Lacase Perry and Rejected Stone, and introduce the six-step critical thinking model, which analyzes how we grow into wanting to emulate our fictional heroes, taking us through step one, knowledge, reading the lines, step two, comprehension, understanding the lines, and step three, application, interpreting the lines. Now, let's see where they take us for the remaining three steps.
That's a tough question for me. I actually have a really poor memory and a very poor memory for my own experience. You know, I'm a bit of a goldfish, so I really don't know about myself and my past that much.
I'm coming in good. How you sounding?
Sounds all right on my end.
Yeah, you're coming in well here too. Okay, sweet. We can get to it.
All right.
Power.
You.
Wilson.
Lou.
You are now tuning in to the Comics Out of Podcast, and this is The Power of You in Fiction.
What up, what up? This is part two of Trying to Be Like You, our episode on aspirational fictional characters. Once again, I promise that Dr. Marklet will make sense by the end. But for now, I want to talk about Ruby.
Bet. So, yo. Wild. So here's the wild thing. I remember we were in the green room and we were trying to figure out, is there a fictional character that has a fictional aspirational character that we can use in this episode right here? and then Steven Universe just blessed us.
Yeah, because it's mad difficult because fictional characters normally live in a world that is fantastical, so they don't normally have to look at other fictional characters for inspiration because the real hero might live next door. So, to borrow the Wilson term, word of serendipity.
Right?
we just sort of rolled in at a very crucial moment in her life where she had to make decisions on her own for the first time, like a babe going to college.
Word. And then, boom, she found comic books. Which old also comic is books. Just... Yeah, okay, I mean, which is also just really awesome. And serendipitous because, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of what we do. We do comic books, y'all. If y'all didn't know, we do comic books. So it was just like, oh, snap. Here it is. Nice and easy. And I loved in the scene where she was like, yeah, like this. And she picked up the dolphin tails or whatever. And Steven was like, wait, do you mean that one? She's like, yeah. The Lonesome Rider. I'm Ruby Rider now. I'm like, yo, this is ill.
And I like also, how Amethyst was her horse. It's like, where are we going to get a horse?
Boom, Amethyst is the horse. I got this locked in. And then, you know, just kick it. Which was just beautiful. Yeah. You put me onto the Steven Universe podcast. And I listened to that episode and they were talking about it. And it's so tangential kind of thing that I guess kind of loops back and relates to the whole in fiction, those characters usually live in fantastical worlds, so they don't need to have another fictional piece to aspire towards or look towards. But when they were saying that to draw a cartoon in a cartoon is wild difficult because you have to make that cartoon not look like it's a live action version
right. of
the current cartoon. I was like, damn, cartoon inception.
Yeah, there's levels to this.
So that talent is something amazing. I gotta say that the creativity is off the walls right there.
Yeah, and then I just liked the whole arc Ruby was going through. So for listeners who don't listen or who don't watch Steven Universe, Ruby is one half of the two gems that make up Garnet, the leader of the Crystal Gems, the de facto mm-hmm. leader. And Ruby, the role in the relationship, because Garnet, as she exists, is the sum of the relationship between Ruby and Sapphire and also her own being. Ruby is the one who acts, but also... is it the brains of the operation? So the first time they split, Ruby has to figure out what she wants in life for herself. Prior to that, she was following orders as a simple Ruby. After that, she mm-hmm. was almost Garnet. And Sapphire's part was the thinking. And so in the previous episode, Sapphire didn't know if Garnet was what she wanted and ran off, and now Ruby's like, what do I do now? And in her comic book, she was able to vibe with cowboy life because cowboys seem to go with where the wind takes them. They don't belong to any land or country. And every choice they make every day is their own because they're out there on their own. She said, I could vibe uh-huh. with that.
Uh-huh. Which makes sense, right? You know what I'm saying? So for folks who do watch Steven Universe, you understand the chronology if you've gotten recent with Steven, where Ruby's a part of the Ruby Squadron, I guess we'll call them, and then she breaks off when she meets Sapphire. They form Garnet and Rose Quartz, which... Yeah, and Rose Quartz sees that Garnet formation and tells them to never not be Garnet. So they stay Garnet for a minute. They only separate on like very few and odd occasions. But, you know, Ruby and Sapphire make Garnet pretty much all the time. So now there's another split, and it's like, oh, well, damn, I am very much so independent. There is I'm beholden to no one and nothing. So the cowboy who is beholden to no one and nothing seems to be what I want to do now. But at the end, it's not actually that.
Yeah, and it was really good for her to have that to work through a time, though, which, you know, cartoons, the way cartoons work out all the way through the end of the comic, where the cowboy decides to have someone else in his life, inspired Ruby to decide what she was going to do with her life, which I think is very healthy for their relationship, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because before they sort of stumbled upon Garnet and was like, we like this. Huh. I'm thinking about this as we go. Yeah. To say, I like this, and so now I'm in it. And to never really, and you've been in it the whole time. You never had a chance to step back and look at the landscape of what you have. And this is for millennia, y'all.
Yeah.
They've just been mostly Garnet for thousands of years, and a couple of times they were separated, the mission was to get back to each other. And so, to be separated and then to look at the cowboy who was living this life, and he decided to accept somebody else in his life to get married. Ruby was like, I now know I can last independently. Even if Amethyst was my horse. And right. Now I choose to be Garnet. Which is much more assured than the previous arrangement they had.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I feel like to drive it home is it mirrors so many seemingly stable and happy relationships that we witness in other pieces of fiction, and also just in our real lives, where you just kind of like trotting along really well and everything is hunky dory, and then boom, I'm saying, traumatic moment happens and you question everything, and then you take that time to separate sometimes as a couple and reassess the situation as individuals. And then through that reassessment and then reconciliation, if you want to forge ahead and move forward as a couple, you choose to come back together and then, you know, take it in the night and take that new chapter on.
Yeah, it's now what I'm thinking is how when you're looking at relationships from the outside, you don't know how it's going on the inside, because several people say over the course of these couple episodes, but this is my favorite couple, which is what I was saying as a watcher too, because Garnet's my favorite couple in any and everything. Randall and Beth. It's between those two. Garnet, Randall, and Beth. They are
Yeah. Yeah. Between them two.
Yeah. So for everybody on the outside looking in, like, this is my favorite couple. They're always together. They're always happy. So for them to have this moment where they split and for them to go through and have the talking over each other, it wasn't even really an argument. They were just talking over each other that they had when they split. You're like, maybe things weren't so smooth as we had assumed all this time. But
right.
But through Ruby's view of her aspirational character, she was able to say, I know how to do this again in a way that it is more smooth.
Yeah, I love it. It's, I know that Shambay had said he wanted to see them split for longer and have like a mad long arc of them being away from each other. And I was like, I can see that. I don't want that though. It was one of them things where it's like, I understand you. I don't like it. So if that had happened, I don't think that I think I would have been continuously anxious to see them reconcile and be Garnet again versus like, oh, and here they are continuing to grow as individuals. I'd have been like, but still, what about the love that makes Garnet? I miss that. I want that back. I don't know if I could have handled sitting in those feelings for too long, the way that Steven Universe can have us sit in feelings for a while.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I can agree with that. And then Shambay, I think Shambay's connection to Steven Universe is he vibes with the paint. Whoa. Well, that's kind of weird because, you know, like, and says Steven Universe will break your heart and teach you how to fix it. Shambay's favorite characters are the ones that it's not so easy to fix.
Right.
So that might be why he would have chosen to go that way. I could have done it either way just because I trust the Crooniverse to put it together in a way that's compelling. But right, they were able to get the point across in about 22 minutes worth. And Sapphire was really, really resolved. Ruby kind of powered through kind of quick. But I felt like Sapphire's arc was very, very complete.
Yeah.
And then Ruby's didn't have to be very long because of the power of fiction. I didn't have to go through this myself. I can flip through these pages, see that it's similate, and say, ah, thank you. What was the dude's name? What writer?
I think Lonesome Writer.
Thank you, Lonesome Writer, for going through this so I don't have to, and I can make my choice quicker.
True. So I guess how does Ruby, other than being just a serendipitous instance with her being a fictional character and then finding a fictional character to aspire towards, aside from that one point, I guess how does she work out for our episode as a whole?
Right, so
where do we go next?
I wanted to go Ruby right back to Stone. Where we left off at the end of the last episode, Stone was approaching stage 4 analysis. And I think it's time we take him all the way there.
Where have you been? You were supposed to get here 6 seconds ago. Or is this thing running fast?
What, Lou?
Yo, he's on your mic now? So you see.
Hello, young persons.
Alright, so this is getting a little wild, bro. Can we just get the song?
But we need the chronologer.
But Lou, there's an immortal who talks like he's off the Dick Van Dyke Show, or I guess like some of the white guy from a black and white show. What was that show? The Paul Newman Show. That was another thing, I guess, that was like in black and white in my workspace. So,
actually, in my case, it's less of a where than it is a when.
Ha! Good one, Professor.
So look, Professor, can we just take the chronologer and travel ourselves?
You are about to unleash forces that you can neither comprehend nor control.
Look, Wilson, RP, my road dog, you're taking this way too seriously. Just enjoy the ride.
But I really think we could handle this without him.
Oh, very well. Off I go.
Professor, wait. We're trying to go with.
Do we really have to?
Look, the sooner you accept this, the sooner we can get back on track.
All right.
way.
I sincerely hope you'll reconsider in the next 3 seconds or so.
Ah, screw it.
Easy on the jacket, it's 1,200 years old.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? So, for our Android users out there who listen to our podcast using a variety of podcasting apps, Google has a podcasting app and it's called Google Podcast. So you can download that and you can listen to our podcast via that app. You can also listen to other dope podcasts that you might enjoy via the app also. You know, once you download it, find us and then obviously rate us on the app because we greatly appreciate that too. So, Android users, you all have a new podcasting app. If you weren't aware, it's called Google Podcast. It's pretty dope. Lou uses it. He highly recommends it. And, you know, I feel like he's a good judgment of our character when it comes to these things, since podcasting is a thing we do. Get that Google Podcasting app. It's called Google Podcast. And don't forget to rate us.
Okay, so last thing, Professor. Did you ever have any fictional characters that you aspire to?
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Ooh, oh my god.
But he's a Star Wars fan.
We have whens to be.
Yes, and here we are.
Okay. Right, so, Professor, let me tell you about our homie Stone. We realize he's pretty humble, so we're going to brag on him a bit before we get rolling.
Actually, we might brag on him a lot, for real, for real.
Yeah, so, first of all, we realized somewhere in the middle of the interview that since we know him, we never actually told y'all where Stone grew up.
I grew up just outside of Southwest Philly. So if you're familiar with Philadelphia, if you're familiar with the Philadelphia International Airport, I grew up 5 minutes from there. So I grew up in a little town called Union that most people don't know because it's like a part of Philly. It's attached.
Right. So Stone and I both spent our high school years in Philly. And when we left off last episode, he was approaching stage 4 analysis.
And that's reading between the lines for our listeners who have been taking notes on the evolution of critical thinking. And today we're going to talk about Stone and his favorite colors.
I have two. I know I broke the rule, but it's cool. But I do. But I do. It's black and yellow, and it's not because of the Steelers. It's because of Batman. Batman had it first. Steelers stole it.
So, Stone loves Batman.
Right. That's actually one of the first ways y'all connected, that when he, Batman, was one of your favorite characters. But you guys actually see Bruce really differently.
Right. While I saw Batman and said I didn't want to be that guy and turn to Nightwing, Stone began to actively seek out desirable traits and sort of cherry picked them from Bruce. When you think of characters that you read that you aspire to be like, where you're like, yo, that's not me now, but I want to be like that person, what characters come to mind?
For me, one of the obvious answers is Bruce Wayne. Like, I would love to be. I mean, he has qualities that I don't love. So I there's a caveat there. But I think the thing about Bruce Wayne that I love is his patience and his dedication. More than his ability to plan, more than his finances, all that, is it his ability to, like, meticulously be on a craft until he is an expert at it. I think is a quality that I wish I had. I always want to be an expert at things. I want to be that person who knows more than everyone. But in practice, it takes an immense amount of patience and resilience. And I don't have that yet.
Word. So it's interesting to think about, right? The medium allowed Stone to see this simulation and that there are things that he admires about Bruce/Batman. That he's able to pick up and readily apply. But if he was in that world, he wouldn't be rocking with it as much.
Right. even with all his Batman love, he's able to think critically and choose the exact qualities. And for all the grief you can give Batman for certain things, there's a lot of good qualities to choose from.
Yes, sir. So by the time Stone found his comic sensei, which became my comic sensei later on, he was already at that stage where he was really breaking his fictional influence down. So, Professor, we don't have to focus on Stone, and you can take us anywhere, right?
Within reason.
Ah, great. Because I got another member from our all call, if you're ready, Lou.
Bet. Who we bringing back?
I've got your homie from NJ, the Jurors, and our resident white Tino, Ellie Drabness, from way, way, way back in episode 3.
Dope. So, Ellie being an aspirational character analysis vibes.
That's a bingo. When we last chatted with Ellie, we talked about how she used fiction in this very specific way to give her models that helped her overcome the past.
Now comes the part where you tell me.
What I was gonna say is that there's more to Ellie's use of fiction, and in the future, we will be breaking...
No spoilers. For that glorious future to occur, we must first survive the current crisis.
See, but the thing is, where you keep cutting me off is getting mad old.
Don't talk to me about old. I walk in eternity.
Wilson, I really think you should breathe in and just roll with the shenanigans.
Can we just get to Ellie?
I suppose it wouldn't do any harm to try.
Hi, I am Ellie Drabness, your resident mixed Latina up in here. and let's get on to the subject of fictional people who... fictional characters, I think is the better term. Fictional characters who I aspire to be more like. And first up on my list is Todoroki Shoto from My Hero Academia. And the reason I aspire to be more like him is because of his forgiving nature. That is a trait I do not have in me. But what's interesting about the character is that he has endured abuse, and I see a parallel in his abuse in what I have faced in my life. And I think the definite distinction between us is that he's not bitter to those who have wronged him. He's so forgiving. He's like, hey, I can completely and totally let the past go. And I'm not quite there yet. But I'm improving in the area of realizing that the past is not necessarily going to define the present. Excuse me. And even though I am not quite at the forgive everything stage, I definitely want to get there. And so the point is, I am now here. I am alive and I am getting to happy, which is something I thought I would never see. And just, I hope I can completely get there as Shoto has. So, my last two characters that I aspire to be more like are Donatello from Ninja Turtles. And when I say Ninja Turtles, I mean the 2K3 series. You know, when he was voiced by Sam Riegel, who is amazing. And Sailor Mercury, from Sailor Moon. And when I think of the Sailor Scouts, I'm thinking more of the original dub, just because I haven't had a chance to watch all of Crystal. But, so, alright. Donatello and Mercury. They are the brainiacs. They are the super geniuses in their, you know, they're in their super squad. Ninja Turtles are superheroes. Fight me. But, okay. But no, jokes aside for just a couple seconds. They are the strategists of their team, ultimately. And the minute their leader goes down, which happened a lot more in Sailor Moon, because Sailor Moon would just, like, faint at random times. Oh, I had a vision of the past, of this random, totally blurry thing. I'm gonna faint. And oh my god, crap, now we are in charge, because we're the brainy ones. And yeah, we can all help each other, but now there's only three of us, so we're kind of open on... You know, they can't all, like, all right, I'm going to take these baddies. So, all right. And then at that point, it's like, okay, I got the knowledge. It's let me use it. They don't sell themselves short. And ding, ding, I'm the first one to do that. I'm so quick to cave to the anxiety. Like, oh, crap, crap, crap. What am I doing? What am I doing? And just, I would not be good under pressure. I think the world would explode if I was in their situations. I really wish I could hold on to that. Like, hey, I have the potential to save the world in this brain. Let me hold on to it. Let me hold on to it and let me not forget that. So then in the situation where I'm under pressure, when shit hits the fan, they can say, hey, you know what? I'm ready for this. Like, come on, Shredder. Come on, Negaverse. Let's do this. But yes, those are just a few characters who I would aspire to be more like, because they remind me that despite how bad things are, they will and they can improve, and I just need to have just a sprinkle little more of confidence, and I guess faith is a good word. No, maybe not faith, maybe resilience. Resilience is a better word. Just a little bit of resilience in all of the areas that I have trouble with. I hope that maybe hearing this makes someone else remember that you can do whatever you're moving towards doing, your goal, and you don't necessarily have to get to all of the improvements tomorrow, but you will one day.
Okay, so I get where you were going, or when you were going. The professor is be confusing me sometimes. Can't even say that sentence straight.
I'm often accused of that.
Yeah, but Ellie also has enough foresight to think about the person she's going to be, and she's able to do it across a very broad range of fictional characters and a variety of desirable traits.
Right, exactly. And she talks about being herself, having a capacity for forgiveness, wanting to... Take simple ideas. I'm thinking specifically about her whole pinky and the brain thing and finding that one thing. Also being more confident and finding her true authentic voice. So she has all of those things that she's looking for. She's striving to achieve.
And it's that very thing that's gonna lead us into stage 5 right after this break. Fiction isn't the only place where you can find your power.
Courage.
Wisdom.
Honesty.
Energy.
Curiosity.
I Am Elemental action figures represent the superpowers that reside in us all.
The first female action figures created specifically for girls.
They're awesome. Forward-thinking design and engineering ensures that everyone finds something to love about them once they have them in their hands.
Put these fierce female figures in the hands of your favorite superhero with a special discount code just for our listeners.
Go to iamelemental.com and use the discount code COMICIDAL for 10% off. Okay, fam. We are back, and now roughly 5/6 of our way toward reading fiction critically as we talk about Ellie Drabness.
Hitting them with the fractions.
Haha. Mathematics.
So, Professor, you want to fill the listeners in on stage 5?
I was rather hoping you could tell me. It slipped my mind several hundred years ago.
Ugh. This is getting mad annoying. Well, I'm going to take your advice. Breathe in. Breathe out. Stage 5 is all about rearranging the lines.
We call that synthesis. And what Ellie is synthesizing here is the version of her future self, made up of all the parts she loves about her, plus all these characteristics she picked up from her fiction reading. Icy Hot Gaara's forgiveness, the turtle and the sailor scout owning their roles as the smart folks, and the listeners may or may not have heard the clip, but the unexpected genius that is the brain.
You couldn't leave that one out, could you?
Nah, yo, it's great. Anyway, at this point as a thinker, you're watching these shows far beyond plot, and their impacts on your future vision of yourself start to be more consciously materialized.
Now, so quick thing, shout out to any listener who knows off jump who Icy Hot Gaara is.
Oh, word. My Hero fans, talking about Todoroki, the son of don't want to
Endeavor.
Say Endeavor. I was about to say Inferno, and I was like, I know that is not right.
The number two hero. Is he number one since All Might isn't there? Since All Might's retired, does he get the obligatory bump?
I feel like he does, but we had that debate with Squad, and it's very unclear. And Endeavor doesn't want number one that way, so yeah, we'll see.
Wants to earn it,
even though it's impossible for him to.
Yeah.
But whatever. So should we, before we close out for this episode, review these critical thinking steps for the listeners?
Yes, it's always good for those who weren't taking notes because y'all came to class without doing the assigned readings. We gonna help y'all as good teachers and give y'all a nice review, so when that pop quiz hit, y'all won't be looking like deers in the headlight.
Bet. So we can hit this back and forth and say step one is knowledge. Being able to read the lines. So translating the little shapes that's on your paper into sounds, because we perceive language primarily auditorially.
Word. Step two is comprehension, right? Taking that in and understanding what those squigglies are. You know what I'm saying? Getting them deep inside of you, letting them fill you up.
Step three is application, interpreting the lines. So now you can see all the overt on the surface stuff of the story. You can probably read a little book and give me the summary. And when stuff is super obvious, like at the end of The Tortoise and the Hare, when they say slow and steady wins the race, you can pick that up.
That's right. Step four, analysis, reading between those lines, right? So, you know, there are always those hidden meanings that happen. You know what I'm saying? The subtext, being able to get to that subtext.
Step five is synthesis. And that's what we just had Ellie doing when we asked her what characters were aspirational toward her. She gave a list, and with every character she gave on that list, she gave a very specific trait. And she's moving these pieces around to sort of form her vision of future Ellie. And so, listeners, next episode, we're going to spend a little bit more time on stage five and get back to our fulcrum character, Rejected Stone, and how his relationship with Batman caused him to pull out and start rearranging some things. We'll talk a little bit about a couple of other people Wilson has on this all call. I guess we'll figure that out. Mm-hmm. And we get more fun shenanigans with Professor Paradox, because we need that chronology. Yo, you the man, yo. Don't knock Paradox.
I guess. Shout out to the big homie, Dwayne McDuffie. All in all. But still, boo.
All right, listeners. That's all we have for part two of Trying to Be Like You. Part three will be the third and final part of the penultimate episode of our special.
Wow. That's exciting. But yeah, come on back, y'all.
As always, this is the Comicidal Podcast, where our goal is to bring you a higher class of comic analysis.